Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Hour of Power. Pastor Miss is out of town getting some more resting up. Glory to God. Is there, you know, I don't know. He told us a while ago, there's several years they didn't do anything like that. And so we're just happy that they've earned it. All right. So praise the Lord. It's an honor always to be here in this pulpit anytime, but especially when normally pastor's here. So if you're a first-time guest, come on back and hear Pastor Hagin. Hallelujah. But we got the Word of God to look at tonight, right? If you got your Bible, open up to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I want to read this scripture to launch us into what I want to talk about tonight. Here, Psalm 145. So much good we could read, but let's just read verse 8 and 9, all right? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I'm reading from the New King James Bible tonight. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So often in the Bible, the term mercy and compassion are fairly interchangeable. Here there's different words used, but notice he says he is full of compassion. I want to talk tonight about the compassion of the Lord. The compassion of the Lord. It goes with all this goes together. His graciousness, his mercifulness, his goodness all go together. They work together. F.F. Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer, said, in the study of the Lord's compassion, we have, to my mind, a complete revelation of the Lord's willingness to heal. To have compassion is to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. In fact, if you look up the word mercy many times, it's translated in the Old Testament, there's the idea of this eager yearning. And when you add the grace of God, where God provides ahead of time. You know, so much of the time I think we've tried to come at it from that we're trying to talk God into doing something. All right? But God is eager. He's ready. He's ready. All right? He's ready. You know, and our Lord, the Bible, there's several scriptures that talk about. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah every time I hear Nehemiah, I remember Doc Horton. Amen. I remember him getting up in school and talking about the shortest people in the Bible. He called him Nehemiah. But then he said, then I found out there's Bildad the Shuhite. Are you awake tonight? Tell your neighbor, pay attention. Those are good jokes. Just tell them, pay attention. Nehemiah chapter 9. See, Shuhite. Shuh is lower than your knee. All right, praise the Lord. Well, let the ignorant be ignorant still, the Bible says. So, Nehemiah chapter 9, he's recounting here God's dealing with the children of Israel and how that God blessed them and how that he took care of them and met their needs. Verse 16 said, but they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and they did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon. And you have to say, it's ready. He's ready. It's not like, well, let's try to talk God. Could you put? No, he's ready. In other words, before you even know you need it, he's ready to do it. He's ready to pardon. He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Look at Psalm 86. Our God is ready. He's a God of compassion. He's ready to show compassion to you tonight. He's ready to be compassionate. Psalm 86, verse number 5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Ready, ready. If you think about it, now you think about Hebrews 11:6 that says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why would you, you know, really, and Brother Hagin just tried to tell us, go to the Word of God and find out what belongs to you, then go to God. Why would we come to God if we're not, if we don't think he's ready? See, and believe that he is a rewarder of them. He's ready. In fact, God's more ready to you have for you to have in your life what Jesus bought and paid for than you are to have it. He's ready. Okay? Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Our God is ready. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. Here is the account of Hezekiah, who God sent Isaiah the prophet to tell him, get your house in order for you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard, God sent him back in and said, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to add 15 more years to your life. And here's Hezekiah talking in verse 19. He says, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with string instruments. He was ready to save me. Ready. Now, what do we know? We've been taught well here about what it means to be saved. Doesn't mean just born again, does it? No, it means healed. It means delivered. It means kept safe. It means redeemed. All that Jesus, God accomplished through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God through Jesus Christ. All that that has, that's what it means to be saved. And he's ready to save you. He's ready. Amen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 1. Look here at verse 12. I've read this out of the King James so much that I had never really looked at it in this version, in the New King James. I like this. Verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. I am ready. He's ready. One translation says he's watching over his word to perform it. He's watching over it because he's ready. Amen. Like I wasn't ready for that. Amen. He's watching over his word to perform it. He's ready. He's ready. Now see, that's where we have to understand the compassion of the Lord. Now God has always been ready. This is Old Testament, right? He just didn't decide to get ready when Jesus came. He's always been ready. And that's why the Bible, in talking about Jesus, who is the will of God in action, he is the outreign, the Hebrews 1 says, of the divine. In other words, he's the perfect image of God. He's God's will in action. He was ready. And we see that in the how many times he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Let's look at several of these. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus being moved with compassion. Why? Because God is ready. God is ready. Now, how many of you know the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? If God was ready then, he's ready now. In fact, God's ready right now. He doesn't have to get ready. He's ready. He stays ready. You know, Pastor Hagin calls our men's conference a call to arms. And you study, you know, the history of the United States, and there was a group of people called the Minutemen. What that meant was, in a minute's notice, they were to be ready. Called the militia. There was no formalized military at that time, but you had these men who were, they were called Minutemen. They were both supposed to be ready in a minute. Well, God's better than that. He's ready now. It doesn't take God. He doesn't have to think about it. If you need forgive, he's ready to forgive. If you need pardon, he's ready to pardon. You need saving, he's ready to save. He's ready. I used to hear people talk about, you know, that was one of the things I think that came out of the charismatic move, you know, a lot of folks and trying to, you know, if you don't know why something's taking place, don't make up an answer. Amen. You know, people talk about, well, it just wasn't God's timing for people to get healed. It wasn't God's timing for them to give sick. Well, you know, it's God's timing. You got to have God's perfect timing. Now, in obeying God and following His will for your life, it's good to be on God's timing. But when it comes for what Jesus has already bought and paid for, it's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. Faith is right now. Why? Because God's ready. He's ready. Now, here in Matthew chapter 9, look here in verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. See, he had an eager yearning for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." He was ready. And he was so ready that he called his 12 down in chapter 10, and he sent them out to heal and to preach. He's ready. Matthew chapter 14. Moved with compassion. The Greek word really talks about, it's a word that means the bowels. In other words, it's something that the Eastern mind, that the very seat of all passion resides in your bowels. That's what they were, on the inside of you, if you will. And he talks about that's what it comes up from on the inside of you. This isn't some outside feeling. This is something that's inside. Of course, Jesus is the Word made flesh. But you know, we have this same capacity to show compassion. But we have to know that God is ready. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard, this is after John's been beheaded, it said, when Jesus heard, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now think about this. Here's really one of the few people that knows who Jesus is, John. Now John, after he got in prison, he said, you know, go find out, check. Is this the one we're really waiting for? But this also, you know, John's mother and Jesus' mother were cousins. This is a relative, if you will, and a fellow minister. And he's been beheaded. Jesus goes out to be alone, but the people saw him. But I want you to notice, he's still ready. He's still ready. Right when it looks like some great blow has been dealt, God's still ready. Jesus was still ready to move on behalf of people. Matthew 15, verse 29. Jesus departed from there and skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. And then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed to be made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint in the way. And of course he went on and he fed them because he had compassion on them. Now notice here, compassion is not just, sometimes I think it's a stronger word than just pity. I might be able to have pity on you, but not do anything. Compassion moves me to act on your behalf. And that's what he was moved with compassion. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Now you know when when there's something that's in the Word of God more than once, God's emphasizing something, isn't he? God wants us to know his compassion. Verse 29, Matthew 20, 29. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. They could have just as easily cried out, have compassion on us. In fact, this word that's in the Greek is sometimes translated, it actually means compassion, but it's mostly translated mercy. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Then Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. "Have mercy on me," they cried, and Jesus had compassion. Look here in Mark chapter 1. This one really, really, to me, intrigues me. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now remember, Bosworth said, in the study of the Lord's compassion, we have, to my mind, the willingness of God seen. Now notice this: "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. I was doing some reading in this and Wiest word studies in the New Testament. He said this: that is, Jesus was saying, "I will," at the time he was touching the leper. But the thought "I will," the determination to follow out his desire to cleanse the leper, and the act of cleansing him all preceded the spoken words and the outstretched hand. Because he had compassion, he said, "I will." Because he had compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him. All of which means that our Lord did not touch the leper in order to cleanse him, but to show him and the people around that he was cleansed of his leprosy. The Levitical law forbade a Jew to touch a leper. Our Lord lived under that law and obeyed it. The first kind touch of a human hand that the leper ever experienced was the gentle touch of the Son of God. Now see, it's illegal. It's against the law for Jesus to touch a leper. But he touched this man because he said, "You're no longer a leper." And then he touched him and said, "I will be thou cleansed." See, why? God was ready. God is ready. God was ready. Ready to heal. Ready to move. Wiest translates this verse this way: "And having been moved with compassion, having stretched out his hand, he touched him, and he says to him, 'I desire it, be cleansed at once.'" Glory to God. Mark chapter 5. Now here Jesus deals with this demon-possessed man, who many have called the madman of Gadara, this Gadarene, and he delivers him, frees him. Look what it says here beginning in verse 18, after he's been set free. He said, "And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, 'Come, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Look at Mark chapter 6. Notice, even casting out, he cast out the demon. That was part of that healing. Here, we see again Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 30, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw him departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before him and came together. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Here, what they needed was teaching. And he had compassion on them. Notice that he's moved by compassion and he began to teach them. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter what you need. Compassion's got your answer. You see? And God's ready to move on your behalf. Let's look here. You can read down. He fed them again. Look at Mark chapter 8. Verse beginning in verse 1. And in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude. I think by this time they've probably gone, oh boy, what are we going to do now? Every time Jesus said, you know, all right, guys, I'm having compassion. Oh no, Jesus is having another compassion attack. Ugh. And that meant they were going to do something to help somebody. Glory to God. You know, Jesus had such a giving reputation that when he sent Judas to go betray him, to go do it, he said, go do what you've already set in your heart to do. Go do it. The other disciples thought that he sent Judas to go give money to the poor. Woo, glory to God. What a reputation. See, compassion. They thought, well, Jesus must be ready again. He's ready. And so they went and, of course, fed these folks. Look at Mark chapter 9. Jesus is, this is the first part of the chapter, is the what we call the transfiguration. Here in Mark chapter 9, verse 15, said, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered, said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. They brought him to him. And when they saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It wasn't a matter of could the compassion of God handle this? Or was Jesus ready to move with compassion? It's what are you ready to believe? What are you ready to believe? Amen. What are you ready? Compassion, of course, we know Jesus cast the spirit out of him and delivered this boy back to his father. Glory to God. Amen. Let's look over in Luke chapter 7. Luke's gospel chapter 7. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. I want to encourage every one of you to get a hold of Brother Hagin's. It was taught years ago, of course. We call it a new CD. It's not like he's preaching new CDs and we're getting them. But new teach. It's fairly new on the secret to my success. And in there, he talks about, he said the key, you know, to his ministry and that, and he'd written it down years ago when the Lord told him, was you know, the power, faith and the power of God, which that part. But then it was the spiritual tools, if you were spiritual weapons of intercession or what's the word I'm looking for? Travail, birthing stuff, and compassion. Compassion. There's something about compassion that will cause you to do things that you wouldn't do normally, and will enable you to do things that you wouldn't do normally. I know I've been in situations, I've been, you know, in the region, one part of the world I go to, there's estimated that 2.5 million people are HIV positive there, just in that one region of the world. That's just about 2.5 million. And I've had people come up and pray, what do you have? I have HIV. Amen. And you can see, but something, compassion rise up on the inside of you. Compassion, compassion. It's a hate. Compassion is also a hatred for anything that's of the devil. There's a compassion to free some, this is not right, this has to go. And I found before I even knew it, I've grabbed a hold of these patients. They said, I'm full, you know, I've got HIV. And I've grabbed a hold of them, just hugged them and prayed. And just held on to them as the power of God began to work. working. You can sense the power of God moving. Just sense that compassion, just held on to him. I've seen lots, testimonies of them being here. But that compassion, there's no thought. Well, you're not supposed to do that, you know. Ooh. There's not even a thought of that. Amen. Compassion. Hallelujah. Here in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin. And those that carried him stood still and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Notice, because he had compassion. He had compassion. He said, well, why isn't the Lord having compassion? He is still having compassion on people. He's ready. But listen to me. He's ready to do it through you. Amen. We are his ambassadors. Yes. Amen. I don't know if you have access to some of the same people that I follow and can talk to at times, but I'm seeing a lot of stories of miraculous things happening amongst Muslims, even Jesus himself appearing to people, doing miraculous things. Amen. Because people, a lot of people around the world are involved in religions. They're just trying to find God. Amen. And Jesus is appearing and miraculous things taking place as we go out and we preach the gospel. Look at Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. Begin here in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. But now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Have compassion. Have compassion. If you're going to do anything, for the Lord, do it because you've got compassion. That the compassion of the Lord is moving you. Amen. It's moving you on behalf of others. And then probably my favorite is in Luke 15. We have the story of what we call the prodigal, right? The parable of the prodigal son. It's really not a parable because he says there was a certain man. Let's read this, beginning in verse 11. "And a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Why? He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. I mean, when you're on the way, the moment, listen, before you ever make the decision to come to God, to whatever it is you need, God is already ready and he's looking for you. And he said he saw him. What happened? He saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Covered in that pig slop. Nobody gave him anything. Dirty. God was ready. That's who this father is. He's God. He's ready. He has compassion on us. Think about how God operates. You know, think about the creation. God, you know, did all the creation. Then he made man. He got it ready before he put man in it. He didn't create and say, now, wait a minute. He just said, don't eat of that tree. It wasn't because it wasn't ready. He had something to teach. But he didn't say, now listen, stay out of that east side because I'm not quite done there yet. No, he did it. It's just like we say, Jesus finished the work. Our redemption is finished and full. And he wants you to have it. He wants you to, because he's moved with compassion. God is ready. He's ready. He's ready. Amen. He's ready. Whatever it is you need, God is ready tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we honor you. Father, we give you glory for your word. We thank you tonight, Father, that your word is true and that you are a God who's ready to save. Hallelujah. You're ready to pardon. You're ready to forgive. You're ready to heal. You're ready to meet all of our needs. Hallelujah. You're ready. You're ready, God. We thank you for your compassion. And Father, we thank you that because we're your children, we have your divine nature living on the inside of us, dwelling in our spirit, that you have made us ready. We're ready, Lord God. We're ready to move. Let compassion rise up and live big within us. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's compassion. Compassion is what will send you all over the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and receive our second offering tonight for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen for their Christmas blessing that we give them every year. And we want to give you an opportunity. If you want a text to give, it's 28950. Type in Hagen. I did mine during the first offering there as I was sitting there because I didn't know if I'd have time here. But you can text to give that. Type in Hagen. Put the space in the amount. We'll make sure it goes for that. If you want to write a check, make it out to Rhema Bible Church. Put in an envelope. Put in their Christmas gift, and it'll make sure it gets there and give by cash. But anytime between now and that time, you know, there, I'm assuming the Sunday before Christmas. Does that sound about right, Brother Bill? When we give that to them, if you want to give towards that, you can go ahead and always text. You can always fill that out. But when we have an opportunity like this, then we want to go ahead and receive that offering. So if you hold your offering up there, let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for the evidence of the compassion of the Lord that we've seen through our pastors. Father, we thank you for they're a gift to us, and we want to take care of them well. We want to bless them, Father God. And so we thank you tonight as we give, Father, that this goes to them as a blessing and will cause them, Father God, to know that they're loved by us, and we sure appreciate them. Father, we thank you as you bless, as we sow seed, you bring it back to the sower. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go ahead and serve the folks. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is going to come down at this time. If you need prayer for anything tonight, God's ready. He's ready. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. And you can, as we say, you won't leave here like you came, right? In Jesus' name. You know, God's ready. Sometimes, you know, we think we got to wait for God to get ready. Or just wait for some special feeling or some goosebump, you know. Here just the other day, on Thursday, last Thursday, we have, those of you students and some of you that don't know, but we have announcements on Thursday. Real exciting time for the student body, you know. It's always a real exciting time, you know. And so, I usually ask somebody else to read the announcements. Christy Wicks had read the announcements. And I've been meditating on these things for quite some time now. And just, you know, as I got the microphone from her, I just came up to, you know, and got up behind the pulpit. It was up there. I said, who here is in pain? Several. I said, first one of you gets down here, be instantly healed. So that one fellow, he was right in the front row. Boy, he got here quick. Others came and stopped. They had to stop because I'd said the first one. Now, don't let me get to it. We didn't leave the others out, but just let me get to this. This guy, he came down here. I said, what's the problem? He said, my back hurts, you know. And I said, well, I said, you're healed in Jesus' name. Now do what you couldn't do. And he bent over. I said, what now? He said, pain's totally gone. Totally gone. Totally gone. Why? Because I know God's ready. I know he's ready. Amen. I got reading stuff about Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth would open up service. He'd say statements, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. Now, he's not saying he's doing something God doesn't want to do already. But he's talking about he would just act on it because he knew God was ready. And then I'm just talking to you so they can offer and get back where it gets going. But this is encouraging, though. I was talking to Joe Doerr, and I don't know if Joe's here or not, but Joe, you know, travels out of our... He spent a month in India with one of our graduates, David Newberry. David started the church and ministry, founded the church there in Lusaka, Zambia, that Walker and Haley Shear's pastor now. Great church over there. But David is a man that he just believes God for miracles. And they would go, and he would seek out in a service. He'd start service out by asking for he'd try to get the worst possible case to come forward first. And he said, we were in one place, and he said, this little lady came up. She's in pain. He said, what's wrong with you? Well, you know, other countries, we wouldn't do that here. But she just lifted up her dress. She had a big old tumor, grapefruit sized tumor on her breast. And he said, well, okay, thank you, put that down. And he laid hands on her, and immediately it went to half, and in just a few minutes, it was totally gone. Totally gone. Well, you know, people like that, they become evangelists. She's a Hindu. She's not even a Christian. She's a Hindu. She goes out, I mean, they lined up people. He said, that happened church after church after church. We pray for hours for people. Why? God's ready. God's ready. God's ready. Now listen to me. Listen to me. And listen, it's not just through those in the pulpit. In fact, it's going to be more through those out of the pulpit every day, everywhere you are. God is ready. God is ready. But you've got to believe it. All things are possible to him that believes. It's not if God can have compassion. It's if you can believe it. God is ready.